Monday music. Like, all right, guys, here it is. Your favorite time of day. The boys are back in town. No, Kale, super producer Kale, very appropriately went with the silent intro befitting this moment. Tim Conley, we just got news right before we went live. Guys, we had a show prepared. A show prepared today where we were going to talk about Tari Eason, Jalen Williams. We're going to start getting into the draft. I was excited for it. We had some hype going, but the news came across just now that Tim Conley officially, we kind of knew it was coming, to be honest. Like, behind the scenes, we I think everybody saw this coming.
I think the term is we were bracing. We were bracing for the news, is what they like to say in the business.
We boarded up the windows. We definitely had done put the sandbags out. We were ready for the tsunami to come. And here it is. Tim Conley is officially going to Minnesota Timberwolves. The terms of the deal, 5 years, $40 million plus a stake of equity in the company. And that is the news. I should tell you real quick before we get too far into this, contractually obligated to tell you, we're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up. I guess I'll do the introductions like general. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous to introduce Eric. He's not like regularly like comedically upset. I think he's actually upset.
Oh, I'm fucking pissed off.
There you go.
I'm really fucking angry.
Demonetized.
Like, absolutely. Like, I mean, the rest of you guys can whatever, like, make light of it. This is a massive blow to the Nuggets. This is like a really fucking big deal. People are really, really mad. They don't want to hear us like talk about why it's not a big deal, why we shouldn't be upset, why it's a good deal for Tim Conley, why the Kroenkes shouldn't have been able to match. This is fucking horrible. Like, this is what we have all been building towards ourselves, has been tied in inextricably to what Tim Conley has been building for the Denver Nuggets. Like, this is a terrible day for us alongside the city of Denver, the franchise, the hopes, the dreams of people who have like really bought into the idea that the Denver Nuggets were building something special. We still have a lot of really good pieces. We still have a lot to really build around, but this is a gut punch like I was not expecting.
Yeah, I'm going to skip introductions. We got Harrison and Vogt here as well, but I just kind of want to roll with this because I agree with you, Eric. And here's the thing: you say like people don't want to hear us talk about this or that. Like, we're going to present all of our real opinions. Like, this isn't like, okay, we're going to just cry with everyone right now in the comments for this or that, or give you the pep talk. There's, I think, truth in both of those things. There's truth in the like, okay, pragmatically, where does this leave you? Where's the glimmer of hope? There's also, you know, truth and though like this is a disaster, but we'll cover all of it authentically. What you're getting at, Eric, you're a brand guy. You're an abstract thinker. You are a guy that doesn't necessarily always see the details of things, but you step back and you can always see where it all plays together. You see, yes, the forest rather than the trees in this specific way. And what you're talking about here is that the Nuggets have an identity as an organization. Like, a very distinct one. We talked about this. Family is the word that we use when we describe the Nuggets organization. And I think, you know, to the point, they've cultivated this culture and this identity of we don't skip steps. We are going to do things in a very specific vision. We're going to execute that vision. We're going to go piece by piece. And for 7 years, Tim Conley's been here, I think, 9. For 7 years, really, when the process for the Denver started in earnest, that has gone according to plan. Like, you look at every single step, and it's been like they have followed that identity, that philosophy, and everything has come from it. Now, of course, they had the injuries, but in some ways that didn't even stop the process. It was just like a curveball. They continued that process with Zeke Nagy and Bones Highland and the Austin Rivers and some of these moves they made. So your fear, I think appropriately so, is that the Nuggets now lose that. One, family identity. Well, I'm sorry. Another team, by the way, traditionally known as a terrible organization, has been willing to pony up more cash for your guy. Like, they value your family more than you value them. But two, he really is the architect of the culture. And that's the thing. Does the culture survive him? Maybe, maybe not. But it certainly sucks that he was the one that started it and he is not here to complete it. Vogt, what's kind of your perspective?
Well, first of all, I'm happy for Tim, who deserves this compensation, or at least deserved better compensation. And that's a family man. So congratulations.
Are you surprised by that number? Because I look at that and I'm like, 40 million? I thought this was
there's the ownership kicker as well. That's I think probably what put us over the top, but that's just me talking. It does just the number itself, 540. Could the Kroenkes have matched that? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but I'm happy for Tim. I mean, this is a you only get so many opportunities. He's a young guy. You only get so many opportunities like this in life. And this is quite an incredible one. So I'm happy for him. I know people are of several minds about this. Don't think he's an infallible genius, as Moran just put in the chat. I mean, I think
there's no nuance to some people like this. Like, there's of course, Moran. Like, great point, man. You're astute.
I think it is absolutely true that the foundation is in place. Like, I don't think Jokic is going anywhere. Those four guys are signed. The Nuggets title window isn't like evaporated because the president is gone. The talent's still there. And maybe a change in vision isn't the worst thing, but there's two elements of this that I'm in total agreement with you guys. And the first is that culture thing, which I just think any leader of any organization, whether it's just pro sports team or just in the corporate world, you are a tone setter. You are a culture setter. And people want to come and work or don't for you. And I think Tim was quite good at that. The other side of this and why it's particularly frustrating, even if it works out for the best, fellas, is that this just fits into a pattern of behavior, an MO for ownership.
Yeah,
could they have afforded it? Yes. Did they?
No question.
No. And so that's the thing. Like, do I think the Nuggets are necessarily screwed? No, I don't know. I don't know what the future brings, but I do know that once again, when presented with an opportunity to show, no, things are different. As Malone is, as many have said, it's time to capitalize on this Jokic era. It was a great way to show they're willing to do it, and they have whiffed on the first test. So even if things go swimmingly from here, that's the ground that I think everyone has to stand on to just be so upset today. This is what the Kroenkes do.
Harrison?
Man, I got a lot of thoughts. I guess my overarching thought is, 3 weeks ago, like Vogt said, Michael Malone, I feel like, tried to send a message to everyone within the organization that this is the biggest offseason for the Nuggets since he's been there in terms of putting a championship team and doing everything in the Nuggets' power to put as good of a team, as good of an organization behind Nikola Jokic. And
right
now those comments, I was thinking about this, those comments hit a little different after, you know, the news of the last couple of days. Who knows how much Michael Malone knew at the time. Maybe he was talking to ownership there. But this is about as bad as a start I think you could have in terms of putting, you know, that vision into reality. But besides that, my bigger takeaway is that this directly falls on ownership. And I was foolish enough, I guess, to believe that after the Washington saga, where the Wizards tried to pry Connelly out of Denver, I foolishly thought the Kroenkes maybe had learned from that and gone, right, okay, we almost let our guy get away once. Let's make sure he's not tempted to flirt with another team. Not a contender. I mean, Tim Connelly's going to Minnesota. Like, Minnesota is not a contender next season. They're right, probably not a contender the year after that. Like, no executive goes from Denver to Minnesota. No executive takes a step back like that, unless it's for an astronomical amount of money.
And also being valued, though. Like, this is the thing. The money shows, Harrison, the money shows that they value. Like, hey, man, we believe that what's going on in Denver, we believe you have a big hand in that, and we want to bring that here. Whereas Denver clearly is saying, no, we disagree. Like,
right.
You think we have this without you.
Yeah. My bigger point is I was stupid enough to believe that the Connellys had learned from the Wizards Kroenkes. Almost poaching, or the Kroenkes had almost learned from the Wizards maybe trying to poach Tim Connelly 3 years ago. And I thought the Kroenkes would have looked at that and said, all right, like, let's not let that happen again. Let's pay him to a level and give him the resources, you know, that these other top basketball executives have, so he's, you know, not gettable. Because that's what the thinking was around the league with Tim Connelly, that he was gettable. And the Kroenkes are the reason he was. And right. That I think this all, in the end, falls on them.
Yeah, and there's a comment there from our guy Quinton that says TC didn't want to be in Denver, plain and simple. That's just dead. That's wrong. You know, that's just wrong. Tim wanted to be in Denver. And to Harrison's point, there is a threshold they probably could have pushed him over, where he's no longer viewed as gettable, where offers don't seem like, oh, I'd be irresponsible of me to not pick up the phone. But that's the compensation scale that Tim was in, that if someone calls Colin with a big offer, you better answer it, because the Nuggets aren't giving one to you for the work you've already done for them.
Yeah. It cracks me up. The one thing I'll just address real quickly, because I've seen it sometimes, is some people saying, there was a comment before that was like, is this a bigger loss for the Nuggets or for DNVR since they had their guy on the inside? You guys, like, it's funny, man. I wish everybody had a chance to do this job, to like just see the way conspiracy theories like come in. You guys think I don't talk to Calvin Booth, who's going to be taking over? You think like I don't know him? Like I've never met him. Don't talk to him. Don't share.
He's actually been on the show just as many times as Tim Connolly.
Yeah, like
maybe one less time.
One fewer.
You know, same goes for all of the people in the front office organization, and also, by the way, people in other front offices outside of Denver. Like we do have relationships to this, and for 7 years now, we have shared our own personal perspective on like our own emotional connection to the team. But I think we do a good job of separating, you know, those things and saying like, I mean, I have a relationship with Michael Malone, like, you know, that goes pretty deep. Like I have all these things. We still criticize all of them, including Tim Connolly. What we're saying here is, why does, you think about Chick-fil-A, why does Chick-fil-A have, every time you go to that place, the friendliest people? You go to like Taco Bell or something and everybody's just like yells at you, throws your food at you and everything. Cause like Chick-fil-A has, for some reason, the greatest customer service of anything. And it's because the people in charge clearly value that, emphasize it. And it's a cultural thing that trickles down. So if you can go to one in New York City or California or anywhere in between, you kind of get that same vibe. Tim Connolly, like this is the thing that when people work for giant corporations, maybe where there is this culture, or maybe that just don't work or work for themselves, you don't realize it. When you work for a small entity, and the Denver Nuggets, all basketball operations are a small entity, the culture of the leader is so evident. And that's why we know this, because we see behind the curtain. We see these things, and you might not like that he gave too much money to so-and-so, or you don't like this thing. But what you don't see is that this is an organization that has been held together through thick and thin and has grown every step of the way, and he has a large part of that. And losing him doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to lose that, but it also means we don't know. I know that if they had him, I know they weren't going to lose it.
Right, exactly.
I know
for a fact
they wouldn't have lost it in that way.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest takeaway, because what this is like, it's not a sad day because the Nuggets are no longer a contender next season. I think I said on the show like last week, the Nuggets could have an F off season or a D off season and still be an NBA championship contender next season. But what Connolly going to Minnesota does mean is it's the end of an era. Like the we don't skip steps era.
I agree. Yep.
That's the Tim Connolly era.
That's his over. Line. It's his line.
Yeah.
Yep.
The we don't skip steps era is over. And from this point forward, I don't know what the Nuggets' organizational philosophy is going to be. Under Tim Connolly, it was, we don't skip steps. Right. I don't know what it's going to be under Calvin Booth. So this is like a point where that era is over, and this is a new organizational era from this point on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing, obviously, we've been having discussions about this all weekend, and sort of bracing ourselves, like you said, for this news. I mean, it felt inevitable after sort of reading and hearing some of the things that were coming out of various people in the know. And, I was ready for this, definitely. And I, you know, just so everybody understands, I have no relationship to Tim Connolly. I've hung out with him two times. I just am a huge fan of the Denver Nuggets. Like, I don't talk to these people. I just observe what I see on the court, around the culture. I hear the phrases, we don't skip steps. I mean, it sucks that the last step was just jumping off of a cliff or jumping to Minnesota. I didn't really expect that. The thing is that we are part of this long form story. We don't know if, you know, the people that have been working with Tim Connolly are capable and able to make the same sort of decisions that he would at the same moments that he would. Obviously, like, he surrounded himself with people he believed in and sort of shared his basketball philosophy, or at least would challenge him, and they would come to conclusions as a group. And the only thing we know now is that now that there is an element of chaos that we are forced to deal with, like, chaos can mean good, chaos can mean bad. It just means unknown. We have no idea what the future holds. Like, we lost Carmelo Anthony, and I thought the world had ended for the Denver Nuggets. And the next season, they won more games than they'd ever won in franchise history. I thought losing George Karl would be a big problem because, you know, he was a championship well, champion. He was a very winning coach and created a culture that provided a lot of regular season wins. And the wheels fucking fell off for like, right. 10 years. So I don't know.
Actually, people don't realize this. An era ended. Now, there were some injuries as well, but people don't realize there was a Danilo Gallinari, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Freed era that was very promising. It just never took off.
Yes.
And part of that was because the change you just referenced, front office and coaching.
Yes. And so, like, the only constant here, unfortunately, is the Kroenkes, right? Like, the Kroenkes that have shown us that they, as an organization, are able to win championships for one reason or another. I can't really figure it out. Like, they just put good people in place and they step back. They sort of allow things to happen. Great. That's a great trait of their ownership. It's resulted in a Super Bowl this last year. The Avs look like they are primed to win a championship potentially this year. But then when it comes to things like this, where you need a little bit more of like a close attention paid to a team and to an organization, like, it's just so clear that the Kroenkes are not somebody that you can rely on for that. They're not looking at, like, they the Nuggets don't mean to the Kroenkes what they mean to us, which right. is an this absurd is statement.
This is the number one thing. Like, you could talk, and we'll get into it in the next couple segments. What's Tim going to do in Minnesota? Like, what do we expect? What is Denver going to do without him? How is it going to be different? But I think the number one thing that becomes sort of unquestionable, we've waited to find out what the Kroenkes would do when we were within striking distance of a championship. We waited thinking like, oh, maybe – like they didn't have a G League for the longest and they finally got one, almost being forced to get one. They finally got one.
Like, and forced, right? Yeah.
And the first year was like great with it. And you kind of think, okay, they're slowly putting together. Now it's go time. You got a roster that's going to go into the tax. Like, okay, here they go. We're turning it on the faucet. We're turning on the faucet. Not even 1 year into the faucet being on, and now we're draining out the other end here by losing Tim. And here's the thing. I expected, and I had heard a number, 8 years, $64 million or six, somewhere around there, plus an ownership stake. I heard this astronomical number that to me I looked at and go, the Kroenkes not paying that would suck. It's not my money, but I kind of understand it. $64 million, that's an 8 years, like committing to anybody for 8 years, a coach, a front office, even a player, is scary. So this is what I hear. When I see 5 years, $40 million, I'm like, what are we doing?
We're talking about ownership, right? And I mean, the ownership stakes and – I get like Woj did say that Denver countered with an offer that would make him one of the better higher paid executives. I don't know if it matches that 540 number, and maybe that would have been enough. We don't know. Here's what I feel very comfortable saying. That's benefit of the doubt to an ownership group that has earned none. That's how
right. Oh, of course. Like, yeah, that's exactly it.
That's why to me, that's the biggest thing. I agree with everyone that's like, hey, Tim isn't perfect. That Jokic is still there. These are all good points. These are
also,
all good
how did points. Get here?
But I think what you had was a first test for the Kroenkes to show us, yeah, we're ready to do this. And unless you're willing to give them benefit of the doubt, which they have not earned, they failed that test.
Denver bid that would have moved him to one of the better paid league executives. Denver offered him, but he just left anyway. Like, again, I'm with you, vote on this. I just am.
The problem is, the Kroenkes let it get to this point.
Right.
Right. That's exactly the problem.
Right. Yeah, again.
They let it get to a point where he could make this decision. You know, like a ownership group that's forward thinking, you know, maybe would have been giving him raises when he deserved raises and was already paying him like one of the top ranking execs. And then, you know, maybe then when Minnesota comes in and expresses interest, Tim Connelly kind of laughs them off and says, why would I go to the Minnesota Timberwolves? I'm paid yes. like a top exec here in Denver. Yep. I've got everything. You know, I have this roster. I want to finish what I started. I don't want to leave. Like the Kroenkes being as absent of owners as they are. And look, Josh Kroenke is very involved, but I think they have a known philosophy when it comes to how they manage their executives. They let it get to this point. They let it get to a point where he could decide and he could be poached. So and that's the problem.
I see a comment here that says, I can't remember where it was. I personally think Tim is making a big mistake. Here's the thing. No, he's not. He's making a mistake that is going to, worst case scenario, net him generational wealth that his children will never have to worry about money. Like that's
changed his family's life.
And if your point is that like he might go there and not enjoy himself the way he is in Denver, almost a lock. almost a lot because he loves it that much being here. But here's the thing, like, Eric, I always use you in this example because, I mean, I respect you immensely in this one, in this way. I mean, in a lot of ways, but in this one way, in that you genuinely want to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be bought off to do other things. Like, you want to build DNVR this very specific way. And if you were working and Brandon just told you one day, like, hey, man, we're not trying to make this cool. We're just doing this. Like, you would also want to leave. And part of me wonders this, like, maybe the Nuggets did offer him all of this. Maybe they did this. Part of me thinks he looks at this and just goes, they're not going to do what it takes to win it, to win. And, like, if the money was close or this or that, maybe I would stay or this or this. But, like, he has to be looking at there and going, pulling his hair out of, like, I'm handing you guys an opportunity here and you're just going to punt it.
Yep. It'd be like if Eric had this generational, never-before-seen program to design shirts that nobody else had, and he discovered it. And, you know, like, it's this generational technology, and he leaves it for, like, something that's way worse. But he leaves it because the money.
Yeah, man.
No, it's also the opportunity here. And the resources. One thing I'll say is also maybe the opportunity. Like, he might also just see a, like, ownership group willing to give up equity and willing to do all these things, and he's like, holy hell, you guys are serious about winning. Like, this is
Maybe one day they can give him that same technology.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually,
sorry, you sure? I want to hear from you, man.
I was just gonna say, man, I like in all of this, it's just the only thing that I can look at, and the only thing you can look at is just, it's just the ownership stake. It's just the ownership stake. I don't think that, like, you can look at it from far as Tim's perspective. It's like, does he love the Denver Nuggets? Yes. Is he proud of what he's done? Yes. Does he love the team he's put together? Does he believe in it? Does he think that they can win a championship? Yes, 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 yes. Is he part owner of the Denver Nuggets? No, he is not. Like, I don't know how. Like, that is nobody gets offered that. You have to buy into ownership in the NBA, and it is unlike that. The people that are buying into ownership in the NBA are like Alex Rodriguez and just people with, like, ungodly amounts of money, right? And Tim is being just offered that just to do the job that he's doing here. With Harrison, you're right. Like, this is not – it's not – like, the story isn't going to be like, oh, the Kroenkes didn't step up when the offer came. They didn't counter. They weren't there. It's just like, yo, man, like, you guys are absentee landlords. Like, you allow –
1,000% how Stan Kroenke runs his business.
Oh, it's absentee time to landlord. Negotiate a new contract? Okay, let's do that. Oh,
yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to – I mean, we got – we're going – Yeah, we're going to London. We got to – whatever. Yeah. Like, well, whatever.
Someone it's fine. Remind me, like, what the record was again this season. Yeah, leak, the playoffs.
Leaky toilet. Like, can you guys just deal with – can you just mop up the floor for – I'll be there next month. Don't worry about it. Like, maybe sometime down the road I'll fix that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sucks. It sucks. I maybe we should save. Let's save silver lining corner for the end.
let's actually go into break because I do want to talk about ownership stake. Like, this is not a normal thing. Why wouldn't the Kroenkes offer that? There's a reason. What do other owners think of that? And then also, is there? I've said this a lot. Stan Kroenke is a unique owner in that he has interests across sports, across cities, across countries, and I do think in this specific case, that actually makes this scenario more difficult for him. And I'll explain on that on the other side.
Ivaca TV, ivaca.tv/DNVR. They've got Altitude Sports. They've got AT&T Sportsnet, so you can watch Rockies games this summer. They've also got the DNVR channel where you can watch this show and our pre and post game shows. The Avs are deep in a playoff run right now. You can watch Rudo, AJ, and all those guys on their pre and post game show on YouTube, or if you have Ivaca TV, you can watch it on the DNVR channel. Most importantly, they've got Altitude Sports, Nuggets, Avs, of course. Get set up with Ivaca TV now so you're ready to go when Nuggets season tips off in the fall. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 per month for the first 3 months. Plus a receiver, no contracts, no hidden fees. They're not going to hike up the price on you. ivaca.tv/DNVR. Again, use the promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. Only $15 a month for those first 3 months, plus a receiver, no contracts, no hidden fees. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR. Also at Lightshade Dispensary right now, you guys can pick up some Wana Optimals Fast Asleep Gummies if you need to catch up on some shut-eye after the big game. check out Wana. They offer a holistic plant-based solution that tackles the root causes of sleepiness like stress and pain. Wana Optimal's fast sleep gummies will have you closing your eyes in just 5 to 15 minutes. It's a fast-acting sleep aid. Where can you find Wana? At Colorado's premier dispensary, Lightshade. They've got 11 convenient Denver Metro and Aurora locations. The Barnum location, one block off 6th and Federal, now open as well. Podcast listeners, you guys can get 25% off non-sale items with the code DNVR. You can shop online at lightshade.com or you can pick up at a Lightshade location near you.
All right, back here, segment two, breaking down the Tim Connelly news. He is officially out in Minnesota, where he will now be building a rival to the Denver Nuggets. It's weird that Tim Connelly built a championship for Nikola Jokic. His job today, stop the Nuggets from winning a championship. Like, it's really it's kind of dark.
Do you think he really wants to like stop the Nuggets? You think he'd be happy if the Nuggets won a championship?
Probably. Oh, of course he would. Are you absolutely kidding me? Like, of course he would. At the same time, his job now in the same division is to build a team that's better than them. So
yeah,
in a roundabout way,
I don't know. Double agent Tim Connelly, not off the table.
Stan Kroenke, the genius, is going to actually. It's a long game to get Ant Davis here for Monte Morris or something. I don't know. A couple pieces here of the puzzle that I think are kind of interesting. Number one, I have heard that owners are not happy with this Minnesota Timberwolves group offering ownership stake.
I'm sure they're not.
At the apple cart, because they're all these owners are looking around going like, hey, man, what the hell? Like, now my GM's going to come to me asking me for equity and this or that. Like, you open up a new possibility, and then now everybody's going to want that. So, number one, I've heard that that is a thing that's going on. So, people are asking, why don't the Kroenkes offer? First of all, the Kroenkes would be the last person to offer. Like, we just know them. Like, even if this became a thing, the Kroenkes wouldn't do it unless they absolutely were forced and pigeonholed to do it. But I've heard that. Number two, the Kroenkes, unlike most ownership groups, don't own just one team. In fact, they don't even just own one teams in one city, because sometimes they own both hockey and basketball. They own the Rams, they own Arsenal, they own the Rapids, the Mammoth, the Nuggets, the Avalanche. And the thing that makes this difficult is if you get leverage to where Tim Connelly is all of a sudden has to be paid $40 million over 5 years and a stake in equity, what do you think Joe Sakic, who's won a Stanley Cup title for the organization, who's built a juggernaut, what do you think he says? He's like, oh, wait. You gave Tim Connelly ownership stake, and he hasn't had the success I've had, and he hasn't done this. What do you think happens with the Rams and everybody else? There's a can of worms that gets opened here for the Kroenkes that I think actually factors in a little bit to this negotiation that they have so many properties here. What do you think, Eric?
That's exactly it. The Kroenkes are a corporation. Like, the guys that are coming in to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's like their entire universe. They're like solely focused on the Minnesota Timberwolves and like what they can do to maximize
Sunday Night
this.
Baseball.
And Sunday Night Baseball. Yeah, like there's a picture that I think Harrison shared of Alex Rodriguez like happily drinking his coffee. It makes me so fucking sick to see the smile on his face.
I can't believe Alex Rodriguez is now Tim's homie.
I know, the entire scene is honestly disgusting. Like greasy. It just like it looks like. I just hate the whole thing. I just can't picture Tim in that environment. Like I've never even seen Tim Connelly wearing a suit unless he had to. It just seems like so. I don't know. Whatever. But the point is that yes, the guys that are just like desperate to make a splash will offer something that is just like absolutely insane to do so. Whereas the Kroenkes are not looking to make a splash. I'm sure that they probably offered like similar money. I'm sure, you know, they can afford whatever they want to afford. That concept of the, it's probably honestly like super foolish on the part of the Minnesota Timberwolves ownership group to offer ownership to somebody that is just going to be running their team, which, you know, like perhaps they're not happy with the way that Tim Connelly runs the team and want to get rid of him. And then suddenly he's just, you can't, or at least you're still paying him forever. That might be something they look back at and are not happy with in the future. But you know, as far as like coming in and making a splash, like they certainly did it. I don't know if this, like the rest of the league outside of Denver, Colorado, as far as like the Twitterverse really appreciates what this means, as far as, you know, a guy that can come in and grow a team from essentially nothing, just off of, you know, clever ideas, wheeling, dealing, being smart in the draft and all of these things that we just feel so strongly about that Tim has done in his time here. But as far as like getting a guy that just sort of like understands what it is to work inside of the NBA and to scout players and to build, you know, a team that they can build off of in the future. I mean, like this is a great hire for them. Right. I'm just sick, man. I'm sick.
What do you think, Harrison? What do you think Tim Conley's going to do in Minnesota? Like, what do you see the next steps being like for the Timberwolves?
I mean, it's kind of a really interesting team to take over, because especially when you're talking about what Tim is going to do, because I actually don't think it's a team that's in a stage of building that really plays to Tim Conley's strengths. I mean, Tim, I think, would be best at taking over a team if he was to move on from Denver that, you know, is in the lottery, maybe has a couple of intriguing pieces.
Yeah, and Washington would have made a lot more sense, honestly.
This is why people are acting like Tim wanted out or this or that. Like, Washington, one, was home, and two, he had, like, family reasons to have gone back at that exact moment in time that were very high profile. I think they were talked about, but if not, I'm not going to mention them. But there was a real draw personally for him to go there outside of finances, and he still chose to stay because of how much he enjoyed being here and seeing through what he was doing.
Definitely. And Minnesota is a tough job. Like, they've won 2 playoff games in the time the Nuggets have won 21. Like, they're just, as a franchise, in a totally different place than Denver. And they just had this embarrassing loss in the first round of the playoffs. Like, Carl Anthony Towns was breaking down, like, mentally, it seemed like, at times. And so, like, you got a lot of tough decisions. D'Angelo Russell has this terrible contract. But, you know, all those things don't matter when you're getting the type of package that he got, apparently. How will he operate with the Timberwolves? I've got to think he'll take the same tempered approach that he did in Denver and not, like, run in there and try to trade Carl Towns. Like, that's not what Tim Conley's going to do. I think he's going to take the same kind of steady, you know, let's see what this team has, and, you know, let's try to make some moves around the edges. I don't think he's going to go in there and start, like, making and setting off fireworks.
Right. We have to... I think one of the things when we're talking about all of this, I do think that the worst part of this is that it lowers your faith in the Kroenkes, which was already so low, but it just lowers your faith in Stan Kroenke. I think this is the bigger part of it. I see a lot of people saying, like, you got to give Calvin Booth a chance. It's totally fair. Like, honestly, there is a world in which Calvin Booth comes in and provides exactly what the Nuggets need at this moment. Like, I really like Calvin. And we're going to get to know him more and more now. When I say we, I mean all of Nuggets Nation is now going to get to know him more and more, especially through his moves and just through his appearances. So this is not a referendum on, like, oh my God, now they cheaped out. It might actually end up working out. There's a real path. It just, even if it works out, it's not because of good process.
Exactly.
Even if it works out, it's because of just, like, cheapness and a failure of vision.
There's a history, you know? Yeah. This is all, if there's a different history saying, like, look, that ownership stake, that's a lot. Like, that's a big offer from Minnesota. That is a risky offer from Minnesota. Yeah. That's a real part of this. But again, like, wins point first, if he was compensated to begin with, not just because of the threat of leaving, but because that's just what he was owed, maybe we don't get to this place. And then what you just outlined, they haven't earned it. They haven't earned a benefit of the doubt. And in fact, there is a blatant history of this approach. And so it's tough. It's weird because I'm going to root for Calvin Booth, of course. I'm going to root for Jokic and company, of course. It feels weird to root for this process to get validated because I don't think it's a good one.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. None of this is a referendum on any, like, it's not a vote of no confidence for the new front office. It's not a vote of, it's just like we were saying earlier, this is just an element of chaos at the moment where we were looking to, we were expecting that the Nuggets would be all in, completely unified, you know, making the move that they were talking about, like doing whatever they can to win the championship. And then like, this is not a move to win a championship, is to lose the architect of the team that got you there. You know, the silver lining is that the team that he built is still in place. And you're right. Like,
go ahead. It is like a habit thing. You're right. Cause this is the thing. They lost Masai in large part, as I talked about last week. When they lost Masai, some of it was they didn't have the foresight or the like urgency to make sure that he was locked up. So then a better offer came. They lost the Comcast deal because they like just didn't see it coming. They were I completely off the ball. Then they got into a spot where Comcast could lean on them. And there's other factors, you know, them being more vulnerable, this or that. But they just seem to never see around the corner. Like, there's the old line, if you remember, when they double booked. It's hilarious. Alec Gwynn has been posting this a lot of, what's the WWE guy? What's his name?
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon. When they double booked, they had a playoff game at the exact same time when WrestleMania or something was supposed to be in Denver, and it screwed up WrestleMania's schedule. And he did the circuit where he was just like, Stan Kroenke should be arrested for impersonating a businessman, because he's not a businessman.
Yeah.
It's like such a great burn, but you're also like, this is their history. They seem to always be surprised by things coming up. And I'm like, oh shit, Comcast is pulling out from us. Well, guess what? Our only recourse now is to sit on our hands and feet and hope the courts take care of us. Like, oh,
I hope someone Masai comes Ujiri, up with a solution.
Throughout Masai Ujiri's like free agency is going to bite us in the ass. I guess we should have taken care of that sooner. But you know what? Can you do Tim Conley? Like, oh, he's getting us. This is the problem. Is like, yes, it might work out, but this shows a history of them just not being very. And when I say them, I really mean him, Stan Kroenke, not being a very smart businessman. And maybe it works out. It almost make you feel sick if it works out in some way.
That's the worst part about this is that he's extremely rich. He is a great businessman. The point of being a businessman is to make money. Yes. The problem is he's so.
This is like how Mark Cuban has gone from $4 million to $4.1 million in 20 years.
Stan Kroenke is worth $10 billion. Like, he is, without question, a great businessman. The problem is that he is doing business in a place where our heart also resides, and he doesn't take the thing about sports teams in general, and just the all of these things that are based on us having faith and riding along and needing to build community and having it mean something larger than the balance sheet, is that when things like this happen, like, you can talk yourself into why he would not do it from a business standpoint, but from a, we want this team to actually mean something because we put all of our time, effort, thoughts, heart into it. Like, he's a complete failure, but he's a great businessman.
Totally, man.
He's a great businessman. It just fucking sucks. You don't want a great businessman.
First of all, I'm going to push back on this, cause I'm not sure he is. Some of this,
he has $10 billion.
I know. Yeah, well, he married a Walmart person, and he had a business in by which he would buy real estate, place a Walmart there, and the real estate would then suddenly become 100 times more valuable. I'm not saying it's not.
That's a great business move.
It is a great business move, but it's also, I mean, like, the Queen of England's also extremely rich. Like, we have these people that, like, have done one maneuver to get to where they are. And I'm just saying, like, what we're seeing from the Comcast situation, not exactly great strategic business moves. What we're seeing now from Tim here, not exactly great, smart business moves. And we are seeing smart owners who have doubled, tripled their franchises and both made the money and won with them. To me, that's the smart. Stan Kroenke is not proven to be able to do that with the Denver Nuggets.
This is the concept of a winning owner and a good businessman. And the two are not always.
I that's a great point, Eric. It just seems like there are probably easier ways to just make money.
Just focus on Walmart, dude.
Yeah,
just
sell focus the team on Walmart. And collect and take the billions and move on with all your other ventures. And so that's the part that frustrates me, is that they end up ultimately taking the team hostage. Like, do one or the other, sell it and collect, because that value's already ballooned from the time you bought it. It's ridiculous. And if you don't want to sell it because you do, in fact, like owning the team, show some goddamn pride one time.
Well, that's never going to happen. Like, Stan Kroenke doesn't care about the Nuggets.
Right.
Like, if he could
sell
the Nuggets and buy the Lakers tomorrow, he would.
No question.
You know, he doesn't care about the Nuggets. They're just a business for him. I want to get Adam, a couple seconds ago, you were talking about like Masai leaving and how this is so eerily similar. Like, Masai left for money, sure, but from what I've been told, he also left because he saw like the vision that Nuggets ownership had and the vision that like Raptors ownership had and the resources he could have in Toronto versus the resources he could have in Denver. And those things are just incomparable. And that was another reason why he really left. And I've got to think Connolly, he didn't want to leave, but he probably also looked at the resources he could have in Minnesota and the resources that he would have in Denver. And those things just like aren't comparable. And the Nuggets, I don't think they will, but they've just got to get serious as a franchise, man. Like, they are still run like a second rate NBA franchise compared to like the top tier ones. And it's easy stuff to point out, like a practice facility and how every single Northwest Division team has one instead of Denver. And I think like 20 plus teams now have a state-of-the-art practice facility. It only costs like $15, $20 million to build one. It's not that much money. Pretty much every team has one. And the Nuggets have a practice gym that's, you know, the size of most people's high school arenas. It's stuff like that that the Nuggets just have to get serious on to go up to that next tier of organizations. And I don't think they will, but I mean, it's kind of something that's preventing them from jumping into that group.
I agree.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot more in the summer to kind of for the Kroenkes to kind of prove themselves. I mean, look, the funny thing is we always make a big deal of the training facility. Like, that's just because it's such a good example of it. But this summer there is an opportunity. Like, are you going to spend? We're going to be able to tell whether they're going to be in the tax no matter what, but we're going to be able to tell whether they care about that or not. Because you can go a little into the tax, you can go big into the tax, you can make moves, you can bring in new assistant coaches or add people to your front office that have some, you know, that plug some holes, but they cost money. And we'll see if they do that. Or we'll just see if they kind of just roll with what they have. And this is, I'm not exaggerating when I say it, the most important season in Denver Nuggets franchise history. It's not the only one. They're going to have, we hope, more shots at it here. But this next year is unquestionably, in my opinion, their best chance to win a title. Mm-hmm. And it sucks to be off on this foot, our first foot forward.
That's how you want to start.
Hasn't even actually started. Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit about Calvin. And I want to talk a little bit about the Golden State Warriors, Eric's Golden State Warriors on the other side.
The American Raptors. The American Raptors, the Rugby Town USA's newest rugby team. They have a roster that's made up of athletes and players that come from all different professional sports, football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field. All these athletes have come together to make this American Raptors rugby team. They play right here in Denver, Colorado. They play at Infinity Park in Glendale. So get out to a game this summer. They play, I think, on the weekends, maybe throughout the week as well. They just played this last weekend. American Raptors, the games are free, but you have to head over to AmericanRaptors.com to grab a ticket for the season. If you can't make the game, they stream their games on AmericanRaptors.com. So check that out. And again, if you want to get down to a game at Infinity Park in Denver, grab a ticket at AmericanRaptors.com. Also subscribe to the DNVR Rugby Podcast with Colton Strickler. He's going to keep you locked in on all rugby news, rumors, notes, not just in Colorado, but also throughout the country. Also, let's get a DraftKings pick of the week here in. I'm going to try to, you know, break the streak.
What's the most interesting
5 on these last DraftKings
Celtics money line?
No, Tyler Hero, take the Celts.
Yeah, I'm going to just take the Celtics. They're big favorite tonight, but they're going to win. This is a classic your turn, my turn series where each team just wins every other game. So I'm taking the Celtics tonight on the money line, DraftKings pick of the week. Mark it down, put it in Sharpie, lock it in. Celtics tonight.
Do you guys want to do a quick around the association? 3 for 14. Okay, I'm done.
I wish you guys could all be in a group chat with Vote during a Celtics game. It's a real like adrenaline experience. I love it. I don't even have to watch the game. I just wait for the Vote text.
Talking to myself, no one responds. I just keep going.
Oh, I'm there. I'm doing the Michael Jordan, like, watching my phone, laughing. It's so great. Calvin Booth, Vote, you have any first impressions here with Calvin? What kind of things you think here? How will he be different?
All accounts, the organization, you know, appears high on him. That's not – I would be surprised to hear other stuff right now. Like, he's the heir to this throne. So
I think it's out already that he's
– it is out, yeah. I wonder, you know, look, I think the obvious the first notion that everyone's sort of touching is, will he be more willing to sort of make aggressive or more skip steppy esque moves than Tim was, which is an interesting school of thought. You know, we had Tim on this show and he talked about how he likes to treat players like people and not assets. We right. followed up. Does that make the job more hard? Of course it does. Calvin Booth, an NBA guy, been around this league for a long time, probably a little number to the business aspect of having seen both sides of that fence. Maybe he is more willing to make tough trades. That's probably would be sort of the first place I look. Having said that, I think the Tim stuff can get understated a little bit. He made that trade for Aaron Gordon. Like, I don't think anyone was stoked to say goodbye to Gary Harris or like that was an easy choice. The Nuggets made that trade. So I think maybe Tim would have made those trades. We'll find out. But that's probably the first place I look. And I guess that's where other people are interested.
Yeah, it bothers me when people talk about the failings of Tim Connolly's trades and he, how he doesn't move players.
There's some truth to it, though.
It's also it bothers me as you mentioned. I see the forest, not the trees. People focus little saplings.
Oh, it's so true. This is
and they're worried about Bryn Forbes. They're worried about all of these trades that ultimately, if we had our players, like, wouldn't have mattered even a little bit, like not even an iota. Like, the Nuggets did as absolute best as they could have possibly done without completely just getting lucky on some weird trade. I mean, like, the Nuggets had nothing to work with. They, unfortunately, you know, injuries and the world at large is bigger than the plans that we make. Tim Connolly built the best possible squad that you could imagine somebody building in the position that he was given to start. Where he started, like he showed up. Did he hire Brian Shaw?
But it was so quick. I mean, it was that first
season. Yeah, We watched Tim Connolly grow up in front of our eyes. When he came in, he was making horrendous mistakes. He was sending trades to the leagues that weren't even legal. He was trying to do things that were. He hired Brian Shaw. All of these things, like it was awful and. We had to slowly work our way through it. He grew, we grew, Michael Malone grew. And the worst part is that at the end of it, now that he moves on, it's fuck. This story has been building and building and building. And how it can't possibly end like this. This can't be the end.
This is the thing I always tell people. Pat Riley's a great general manager. He's won in three different cities and big markets under pressure. He's reshuffled the deck in short order and gone from championship team to brand new, completely different championship team. He's great. Unassailable record. Last summer, he gave Duncan Robinson $16 million a year. That contract just started. He's got five more years to make it goes 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 million. That's his upcoming contract that he just handed to a player that doesn't even play. Great. So when people say the forest for the trees thing, there's somebody I saw, our guy Ray is like, hey, margins win championships. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. All these things matter. My point is that everyone makes mistakes. It's so easy to point out these little things and say, look, that was proof of it. You have to look at that, but you also have to step back and say, is this thing going in the right direction?
Also, every GM in the league's margin moves look like dog shit when they're two of their three most important players. That's not to say every – I don't want to – there were mistakes made. I'm just saying we're all evaluating from the standpoint of
how – But also, I realize I'm a moron and I don't understand things, but I need someone to explain to me how margins win championships. LeBron wins championships. The Warriors win championships. The Lakers win championships with LeBron. It doesn't matter. You don't even remember the cast of characters that were the eighth, ninth people on the end of that bench. No, you don't.
Some teams we do.
All the names.
I think the Golden
Boris State.
The Spurs. Yeah,
Golden Boris State. Boris Diaw was not an around the edge move. He was a top level player. The Bryn Forbes moves, these moves that everybody freaks out about, they do not move the needle in the context of winning a championship at the NBA. I cannot be moved off this point. This is why the Warriors are going to wreck the league this year. It doesn't matter who is on the end of their bench. It doesn't matter if they lost Gary Payton Jr.
You're right. Okay, if you're saying fringe is in 11, 12 guys or
that's what this is what we're talking about. This is what people get worried about. They're worried about that we got Bryn Forbes. Oh no, or we didn't make the right move to get another guy to come off the bench. Doesn't fucking matter.
The way you get the way you get good players, to your point, the guys that you're talking about, the impact ones, is you have to make your margins matter so that you can convert them into something. You have to trade four quarters for a dollar, and that means you have to like hit on all of your moves to get those four quarters. So this stuff, in my opinion, does matter. Like the margins do matter. But to your point, there's still so many little margins that happen. And if you just look at the bad ones, you can do that for every single person.
For as everything.
Just, including Pat Riley, and say, look at this terrible contract you handed out. Everybody has it. Calvin, I will say, like, one of the things people have said is a criticism of Tim Connelly or a weakness of his has been when you do treat everyone like family, it can be harder to move people. And Will Barton, to me, is very clearly a guy that should have been moved at least one season ago, maybe two, but certainly one season ago, in my opinion. And that's a move that I think probably wouldn't happen if Tim weren't here. Not because I think everybody thinks it's because of the Baltimore connection, this or that. I think it's just because Tim really believes in his guys, like whether they come from Baltimore or where they come from, wherever else. And I think the writing was probably on the wall a year before Tim saw it. And maybe with Calvin, maybe that changes. Maybe Calvin doesn't have the roots that go as deep with the specific players that have been here for 7 years.
Yeah, I think Calvin Boots' strength can be what Tim Connelly's biggest weakness was, and that was believing in his guys too much. Like, sometimes that really benefited Tim, and that really benefited the Nuggets. He believed in Nikola Jokic. He believed in Jamal Murray. You know, he believed in Gary Harris after he had a dreadful rookie season.
And there was a lot also, of people not to believe in those guys. But, I mean, it's hard to remember right. It at this point, but there were points in times with even Jokic where it was like, hey, man, he's got a lot of trade value right now. Like, it's a second rounder with a lie. You could get a really good player. Remember when people were laughing about Jaylen Brown for Nikola Jokic when that was a thing? But think about how many GMs in a second year of a second round pick would be like, oh, no, he's our
100%.
Guy. Let's get Jaylen Brown's the third overall pick. We could get him. Of course, we'll take him.
I mean, a lot of names, Kyrie, James Harden, like a lot of guys came up. Like, this wasn't, you know.
It's funny.
And just knowing what I think I know about Calvin Booth, I think he's definitely going to be much more willing to part with guys who have been with this team for a while, that have done a lot of good things for the Nuggets, if it's the right move to make in a basketball sense. I think he's going to be much more willing to make those trades than Tim Connelly was.
Yeah. And it's been told to us, like, the difference between Tim and Calvin is that Tim is always looking to make the smart, clever move, the cute move, and Calvin is just more of like a, here's what we need, let's get this done. Like, I think I'd be a lot more nervous if we were like truly in a real rebuilding stage and we had to sort of rely on Calvin Booth's, you know, vision. Not that it's bad or good. I just don't know it.
Yeah, we don't.
But there is something to be said about like, okay, let's get some defense around the perimeter. Let's not worry about like trying to turn two picks or one pick into two picks and, you know, seeding for the future. And there is probably some real value to just being like, okay, we're locked in. Like, we need this guy because he can make shots, because he can be a defender. It's like, it's not like necessarily like he's, you know, like, we have like this weird deal that we can make that's ultimately we're going to get him and the 15th pick and so I can see value there. And the one thing I'll say, just if this is Silver Linings Corner here, the one thing I keep saying is that somehow or another, the Kroenkes, as much as I hate them right now, and I can't really stand the thought of the Kroenkes at this exact moment in time, like are A-plus level talent evaluators. For whatever reason, they put the right people in place of all of these franchises that are allowed to do whatever it is that they need to do. Unfortunately, like then that falls back on the Kroenkes to be able to finance the ideas and the views and the plans of all of these like good this great talent that they put in place. But like the record really doesn't lie with the way that the Kroenkes have gone about it. I mean, like, again, I keep coming back to it. Like, just see what they just did in the NFL. See what they're doing in
the
NHL.
They might win back-to-back titles. They literally might win a football title and a hockey title within
My only counter to that is, yes, they've plucked Masai Ujiri and Tim Connelly from relative obscurity, and those two guys are some of your top five president of basketball operations. But also – Tim Connelly was not good his first 2 years here.
Terrible.
He had a lot of growing pains that he had to go through learning the job and whatnot. And like that had to happen before he became a top five executive.
Yeah. Like, so from the
oh, go ahead. I was going to say, there are micro decisions. I see people all the time, like business people that will, you know, write a self-help book. And it's like, anybody can do what I do. I just wake up and do this and this. And what they're, I often think they're not accounting for is all of the micro decisions that come across your desk every day that you just kind of like assume everybody makes decisions the exact same way. When actually you make so many decisions over time that there's this cultural footprint you might not even recognize in yourself that is leading you to this. And this is what I think Eric is putting on the Kroenkes. I think if you are sort of saying clearly there is something that they are doing that is working, whether it's like noble or this or that, they clearly have something. And I would agree with you in part. Like, again, the proof in the pudding, the Avs are good, the Nuggets are good, the Rams are good. They were not good, you know, they built this, they've had a vision. The
Rapids are good.
That vision. Rapids are good. So they've executed a vision here. Arsenal, not so much. The one thing I will say is that we're talking about extremely small sample sizes. And that can lead to some things. So they found Masai. They found Tim Connelly. Two for two. We'll see. We'll see if that was just like dumb luck or if there really was something about their decision-making process that led them to that point.
It's true. It's true. It's just I just have to tell myself that. Like, okay, we've lost another unbelievably talented GM in Denver, but we had two unbelievably talented GMs in Denver that were picked by the Kroenkes. I don't know if Calvin Booth, like if he was picked by Tim Connelly, if he like what the role the Kroenkes actually played in Calvin Booth becoming who he is now. But I don't know. You just have to look at that and be like, okay, I hate these people drive me crazy. The thought of them at this moment makes me insane. However, if I take a breath and I think about, you know, what it is that they've actually accomplished in ways that seriously make absolutely no sense, other than they can somehow pick the people that know what they're doing and they can let them do their job. Right. From that standpoint, like, okay, like I hope that Calvin Booth is made in the mold of Tim Connelly. He has like the same vision for how to build a basketball team, the things that are important, the things that are not important, and is able to sort of focus on the things that matter. And we can just sort of continue on the path that we're on. But it's just this element of chaos that makes me so unbelievably nervous.
And it's also just like
sleeping about.
When Gary left, you kind of felt like it was the writing was on the wall. You knew that he was comfortable with it. At that point, he kind of like, hey, maybe my time's moved on. Because Gary was a core piece. And losing him felt like, man, I wanted – when and if the Nuggets won a title, I wanted Gary to be there. It would have been a sentimentally nice thing, but it also felt like a sacrifice you had to make your team better. This one just feels like something happened to the Nuggets. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a process going to it. It's like someone stole Tim Connelly and now you just roll with the punches on it and it sucks. But unless anybody have anything, any final thoughts, and we have to put a bow on this. We've talked about it for a couple episodes now. And honestly, we did actually today. The plan for the show was to talk about two prospects who are very interesting. I'm in full draft mode now, and we'll turn to that tomorrow. But we just have to put a bow on how we think and feel, and we can come back and look at this 2-3 years down the line and reevaluate our feeling and our sense of the moment.
My final thoughts are, like, the Nuggets are going to be okay. Like I said at the very top of the show, they could very well win a championship next season.
Yeah.
But I just wonder what, you know, the effects of this will be down the line. What does Nikola Jokic think of this? Now, I think he's going to sign the Supermax for sure. Like, anybody will sign that with no matter, you know, any team, any player is going to sign that. He will. He'll be in Denver for a long time. But, you know, does he look at this and be like, wow, like, why didn't ownership do everything they could to keep Tim here? Why didn't they do that? Huh? That's interesting. Now, what does Jamal Murray think of this? What does Michael Malone think of this? What do people around the league think of this? That the Nuggets ownership isn't doing everything that it takes to keep its best people. And just if you step back again, I know I said this earlier, but if you step back and look at Tim Connelly leaving Denver for Minnesota, it's not like he's going to the Lakers. You know, it's not like he's going to the New York Knicks. He's going to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I know it does.
A division rival.
a division rival who's won two playoff games in the last 4 years.
I'm telling you, this is actually the lamest part about it, is that the guy that came into your corner and beat you up on your block is the Timberwolves. You're like, damn it. We're somehow
an organization who is like more as dysfunctional as almost any organization over the last decade. Like the Timberwolves, there's so much wrong with that franchise. And that's the team that was able to pluck Tim Connelly from Denver, a place he never wanted to leave. That's not going to sit right for a while.
Yeah. And for me, I'm ready to move forward too. I mean, there's precedent for this, not just for the Nuggets, but just in pro sports. It does happen, and we'll see what Calvin can do and all of that. Just one last time, I want to express a wave of regret or just disappointment. I think when we think about these 2 years and what was taken, you know, from us and the Nuggets, what could have been, we all wanted to see this iteration of the Nuggets finish the job, you know, and that included Tim for me. And I'll think back on these 2 years as those 2 years where it could have happened. Right now, we're all talking about, oh, it's time to move on from a GM that did this and this and that. He's a GM that built a title contender. It wasn't us. It was Zach Lowe. It was GMs around the league. You know, it was other media members who were calling each other, man, the Nuggets are knocking on the door. They were right effing there. It was taken from them. You got to move on because that's how sports work, but it just stinks. It just stinks. It could have, should have been these 2 years. And now we're already sort of on to the next thing. And I just think Nuggets fans are so tired of being on to the next thing.
If I hear one more person say, like, Tim Connelly sucked at making trades, I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
It's
like,
terrible.
The guy made a great deal for Jeremy Grant. He left the Nuggets at the stroke of midnight without telling everybody. He made a great deal for Aaron Gordon. Like, he's pulled off great trades. He's pulled off good signings. Like, it's just, this can't.
Yeah. I'm not fully ready.
Did you want him to trade Jamal Murray for, like, James Harden? Sorry. I'll stop.
For Jimmy Butler.
Is that a trade that people – no. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think at this moment, like, I just want to say thank you to Tim Connelly. Like, I really – like, I've enjoyed the growing with the Denver Nuggets over the past however many years so much. I've really enjoyed watching his vision come to fruition and the way that he's conducted himself in the community and like the humility that he conducts himself. The fact that he would come to our stupid bar and like talk to us, not in a way that like is makes us not able to objectively look at the man and what he does, but there's just something about like the ethos of the Denver Nuggets that Tim Connelly is at the heart of, that they're just approachable. They are a team that you want to root for because it's like a bunch of guys that nobody believed in. It's like
Brian Colangelo literally had burner accounts where he was yelling at people for making fun of his collars. Like,
yeah,
a lot of GMs suck as people.
Like, a lot of people, like, yes.
Really lame.
Yes. And like anytime I ever heard Tim Connelly on a podcast or just, you know, had the opportunity to watch him interact with anybody in this community at large, he's just a guy that I wanted to know and be around. And he ran a franchise the way that I would run a franchise. Like, he made decisions that were not always the best from a cutthroat business standpoint, but like always from a he always had soul on the mind when he was doing things. Like, he had the idea of the Nuggets as a concept, being a group of people and a group of fans and a group of players and everybody sort of buying into this collective vision, which is why this just hurts so badly. Like, I just really like Tim Connelly as a guy. Yeah. He's a guy that I felt really good rooting for. I don't know that that's, I mean, I'm not saying that that's not the case. I mean, we're not talking about anything else that is to come. I've not lost faith in the Denver Nuggets. I've not lost faith in Nikola Jokic, et cetera, et cetera. I just, Tim Connelly's Denver Nuggets are what really made me fall in love with the sport. And I'm going to have a hard time sort of turning the page. And all I can do is say thank you. And I'm bummed.
Yeah, for sure. We got some super chats to get to before we get out of here. Why don't we roll through those here, Kale? Some real sickos. Maybe Grapey says, it will be fun to skip some steps. Maybe it'll be fun to skip some steps. Hey, man, maybe it will.
It's true.
Maybe. It's true. I mean,
seems to work for other teams. Yeah. Why not?
It's on the table.
To be honest, though, they're at the final step. So there's what skipping is there?
Yeah, that's the last step.
That's the last step. We got Bobby. He says $5.
Oh, I love this comment. Guy. $5, dude. Finally.
First teamer, Bobby Gonzalez, by the way. All right. Steven or Stefan says, in a world of huge max contracts, we can't pay 5 years, $40 million. Think this was Josh or Stan. TC was supposed to see this through and build the post-Yoke era. I mean, first of all, unquestionably, this is Stan. Unquestionably. It might also be Josh, but it is Stan. Like, I don't know Josh's level of involvement on this. I do know Stan's, and it's there's no question about it. I love the point, though, about the post-Jokic era. In an alternate universe where the Kroenkes don't suck and Tim is still here, I do wonder if the Nuggets win a title, Jokic wins, and then they both retire at the same time. It would be the greatest – it would be the smart move if you just got out of the game right when Jokic left. You're like, hey, man, no blemishes. All right, what else we got? I am now liquidating my Nuggets jerseys and sending my support to an org that cares. I love it.
Does that mean we're like dissolving them in acid and turning them into liquid? Or
that's exactly what he means. Yep. Yep. I don't know. Has anybody ever? What's the most contentious general manager split up in sports history?
Well, Sam Hinkie and Sam the 76ers is the most recent one.
Are we linked to the 76ers once again? We don't skip steps versus the process, just mirroring each other. God damn it. I hate this song. Oh, bring in Doc Rivers. God damn it.
God damn it. Don't you shut your mouth, Montez.
Very excited for us to get the Colangelos and Doc Rivers or whatever the exact – Vinny Del Negro, is he coming in? Mark Jackson? Damn it. Darkest timeline upon us. All right, what else?
Oh, my God.
Cool Cootie says, will it hurt when Tim says cast
the – No, it'll be awesome when he doesn't. It'll be awesome when he talks awkwardly around it and doesn't know how to say no. That'll be the part.
Can I see your impersonation? Hey, you've been around a lot of great centers in your day. You've seen Jokic up close. Obviously,
he's like an all NBA caliber center. I mean, those are the kind of guys you want to have in your organization. Obviously, you know, Jokic, we look at him as a great guy who can do a lot of things on the court. We look at Kat as a guy who maybe can do some of those things too. And you know, when we look at Kat, we just see a great talent.
I said, as good as he is as a player, he's an even better person. Like, these are one of the ways you talk around the question.
Oh my God.
He's just a basketball player. He's just
I think I hate Kat more now. Now I'm only gonna refer to him as Pussycat from here on out.
I'm gonna be. It does suck, man. It's like when Paul Millsap had to say that Embiid was the best. Come on, man, this sucks. I hate it here. We'll be back tomorrow. I can't wait to talk about Eason. Can't wait to talk about Williams. Two players that are very, very interesting. What did I do something wrong here?
No, it's just a funny transition.
I just want people to know we're not going to be doing this like sad sex shit all summer long where we're just like,
I want everyone to know that I will be doing sad sex shit all the entire time.
Yeah, me and D-Line are actually going to have a separate podcast where we just bitch and moan about this.
You guys can do the weeks. You've got the DNBA show. We're going to do the Down Bad show starring Harrison and D-Line. Yeah.
You know what? DNBA Down Bad. I feel like there's a graphic to be made here. We have to do a Down
there,
Bad.
There's show. Something there. Yeah.
There's something there. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. Hit that like button. We'll be back tomorrow. Brand new episode. See you then.
Yeah.